as we venture into the murky waters of everything you've been told never to bring up at holiday dinner. You'll need a guide, someone you can trust, a battle-tested, common-sense leader who knows that an extra pair of dry socks just might save your life. That wise old sage has arrived, and he is shouting the Schmidt Show battle cry. Schmidt Heads Unite!
Good morning, good afternoon. Time appropriate greetings depending on where and or when you are listening to the Schmidt Show. I am your host, Brad Schmidt. Thanks for joining me this afternoon or this morning, like I said, depending on where you are. Maybe this evening, maybe even tonight. Like I said, depending on where you are and when you are listening to the Schmidt Show. It's an interesting bit of experience that has gone on with the Schmidt Show podcast over the last 40-ish episodes or so. I have been doing talk radio for the last 5 years, just over 5 years, on a terrestrial radio station here in my hometown of Grand Forks, North Dakota. If you want to listen to that, you can find me at News Radio 1310 KNOX AM and 107.9 KNOX FM if you are in the local listening area. If you are not in the local listening area, you can listen live on the internet at our website, which is KNOXradio.com. That's KNOXradio.com. Or at our app that we've got up on the App Store. If you just search for KNOX News Radio, something along those lines, News Radio 1310, News Radio KNOX, KNOX News Radio, in the App Store, both Android and Apple, we have an app that you can listen to the show that way and to the other shows on our station. If you enjoy local talk radio, we've got some pretty good talent on our station and talent that I'm actually proud of and proud to work alongside these guys. So you want to check it out outside of that. We're also working on putting together on-demand content for the radio station where it's still in the very early stages. We just want to make sure we're doing it right, and we haven't quite gotten to where we're happy with it, and so that's also other decisions way, way above my pay grade that I can't make any promises on. So, like I say, I'm working on my side of it to try and put together a good product and get everything, the tech side of it worked out. Hopefully, once we got that, we'll be able to push it out, you know, company-wide or whatever. But anyway, back to the discussion, the Schmidt Show podcast. So I have, as I've said, had some interesting experience on over the last 40-ish episodes and doing a podcast. And so I have been trying to figure out how to make it better. I have, in my own estimation, if I'm honest with myself, I've struggled a little bit in making the transition from terrestrial radio show where we've got commercial breaks and we've got guests and we've got interviews and we've got callers and all of those sorts of things. And it oftentimes drives the content of the show, which is not bad. And not that I'm complaining about that. In fact, actually, it makes for very interesting radio. And if you're not listening to the Schmidt Show radio show, terrestrial radio show, you're missing out on a lot of really good content. But it changes the dynamic a little bit. And so I've been trying to kind of figure out how to bring that dynamic here to the podcast. And I don't feel like I've done as good of a job as I could. Now, before anybody says anything or questions what's going on, I'm not quitting the podcast. I'm not, you know, dropping out and taking off and running or giving up on the podcast. But what I am going to do is going to be working on kind of changing the format a little bit to try and make it more interesting for you, the listener, make it more interesting for anyone who might stumble across the Schmidt Show podcast and provide a better product. It is something, look, if I'm honest, the reason I'm doing podcasting is something that I want to monetize. It's something that I want to make as a part of my monthly or annual income. And I know nobody wants to talk about that because, you know, nobody wants to be accused of selling out. And if you really love doing it, just do it for the pure love of it and all that kind of stuff. And I certainly do enjoy doing it. I love doing radio. I love doing podcasting. I've really found a lot of fun in doing it. But in the end, I have a family and a couple of kids and my wife and, you know, and bills that I have to pay. And not monetizing a podcast doesn't pay those bills. And currently I'm working two jobs. I'm doing my terrestrial radio show, which I get paid for, but I also work for the railroad, or actually work for a company that is contracted by the railroad as a supplemental income. Because in contrast to popular belief, doing radio does not make you rich. Just because you're on the air, on the radio, and when you get in your car, you hear my voice, doesn't mean that I am rich and famous. In fact, it's generally quite the opposite. The people who in radio who are quote unquote getting rich are actually very few and far between. Now, that, like I said, I'm not complaining. I love doing what I do. I've made the choices in my life that I've made because I love doing radio, because I'm enjoying being a part of the discussion as it relates to politics and topics of the day and relevant news items and things like that. I love being a part of that. But I don't feel like I am providing as good of a product to you, the listener, as I could. So I've been brainstorming and trying to work on the product a little bit and changing the way the Schmidt Show works in an effort to drive A, more listeners, and therefore B, hopefully more Patreon supporters, attract the attention of advertisers and things like that, so that I can quit my second job and focus on providing content and improving the quality of that content long term. And so that's one of the things that I am working on. And one of the ways we're going to do that is one of the things that I found, I if you followed my Facebook account, if you follow the Schmidt Show on Facebook, which is facebook.com/Schmidt Show, you know that this weekend my son and I made a road trip out to the state of Washington to pick up a car, a Toyota pickup actually, that I bought as a project to revamp, remodel, you know, restore, you know, modify, resto mod, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be a fun project, which I'm going to do my best to document through YouTube, I'm not doing it like some of these guys do these car rebuilds and things like that as a YouTube channel. And like they just constantly buying and restoring cars and things like that. I'm not doing it for that. I'm just going to do it for my own documentation purposes, and YouTube's an easy place to store all of that stuff and have it available for people. And maybe another enthusiast or two will stumble across it and learn something and help them be able to restore their vehicle. But anyway, that's a side note that's irrelevant. But anyway, so you know that we went out to Washington State. On the way out to Washington State, we listened to several podcasts, my son and I, some business and management type podcasts, some leadership type podcasts. My son is very much into graphic design, so we listened to some graphic design podcasts. What we also ran across one called Business Wars. And Business Wars is a very interesting podcast, and I'm hoping maybe even to reach out to them and get them on my show as a guest to kind of talk about their story and how it relates to some of the modern issues. So here's my thought process in this. We have become a species, human beings, throughout thousands of years of cultural and social development, we have become a species that enjoys storytelling. It is one thing to watch the news and say or hear the story about a young woman was kidnapped and through great adversity, she was able to escape her kidnapper and reach out to the police and bring the authorities back to where she was kidnapped from and reach out and capture the suspect, and justice was served. Like that that news story, that makes news. But what really draws us in as a species, what really draws us in as human beings, is the story. And there are massive industries that have been built around telling stories, whether it's through video or audio or whatever. Back in the day, we used to, you know, we didn't, not my age, I'm not old enough, but they, human beings, especially here in the United States, used to listen to radio dramas. We would listen to stories being told through our radio out, you know, we would listen to things like the Green Hornet and Dragnet, and we would listen to the stories that have been told, some fictional, some true to life, and others, sometimes fanciful sci-fi and things like that. And so one of the things that I want to try to do, it being inspired by the guys from Business Wars and other things, is to tell the story of the issues and topics of the day. I'm not entirely certain how that's going to look, but let me give you maybe a bit of a preview. I recently, on the way back from Washington, I stayed with a friend that used to work with me actually at the radio station. Her and her husband now live in Spokane, Washington. We were lucky enough to be able to stop through on our way home and spend the evening at her house, spend the night at their house, and get a good night's rest before the finishing up our travels. But her husband is a former Customs and Border Patrol agent and a former member of the United States Army. And he's now doing some other things, and whatever it is that he's doing, I don't know if that I want to reveal that at this point, but that is his story. He works with Customs and, or used to work with Customs and Border Patrol, was in the military. They've been married 20 some years, I think. And I want to talk to him about immigration. But before we just jump into immigration and tell me why immigration and illegal immigration is bad, and as a Border Patrol agent, tell me why we need the wall and all of those sorts of things, I want to have him tell his story. How did you get into the Border Patrol? How did you join the military? He is, I believe, of Mexican descent. His family is from Mexico, and he was born, I believe, and I'll have to ask him to tell the story, but I'm trying to kind of lay out the picture. He ended up in the United States military, ended up becoming a Customs and Border Patrol agent, and is now living in Spokane, Washington, doing what he's doing. His wife has stood alongside of him all of these 20 years and become part of that experience and how she has supported him. And I want her to tell her story on being what it's like being the wife of a Border Patrol agent, of a military member. And in that story, in that discussion, we're going to talk about what it means to be a part of one of the most, possibly one of the most divisive issues of the day, to be literally on the front lines of fighting the battle as it relates to the issue of immigration and or illegal immigration here in the United States. And what does it look like from his perspective as a Customs and Border Patrol agent? What does it look like from her perspective as a wife of a Customs and Border Patrol agent who's been threatened with death and things like that for doing his job, for doing his best to protect the sovereignty of the United States from illegal immigrants and so on. So that's kind of the way I want to approach this discussion. I want to move away from me just spouting my opinions. And I'll certainly give my opinions. There's no question about that. I'm a very opinionated person, and I get paid, like I said, 3 hours a day at the radio station to give my opinion. So I will certainly be glad to give my opinion. So I'm not going to change any of that. I'm not going to change any of my views, any of my stances on, you know, issues of the day, whether it be social issues, political issues, religious issues, you know, whatever is being discussed. And I want to do my best to share the story behind the news behind the issue. I'm also working on putting together an interview with a local district attorney or a local member of the district attorney's office. I'm not sure what her actual title is, but the issue of the opioids and the opioid crisis and the drug fight that we are facing here in the United States, and from a legal perspective, what are we doing to address the issue of the opioid crisis? Is it really even a legal issue? Is it more of an issue of mental health and socialism, or not socialism, but social norms and social experiences for people, and is it more of an addiction issue than a legal or criminal issue, and how do you deal with both? Because both things are true. Obviously, it's an addiction issue, but at the same time, there is a criminal element. Oftentimes, the criminal element of drug addiction and the criminal element involved in the world of drugs is necessary to be addressed as well. So we're going to talk about all of that from a perspective of a person who's in the middle of that issue, who's fighting that battle literally on a daily basis. I'm actually friends with the local sheriff. I'll maybe drag him into that discussion and have him not just talk about the issue, but tell his story. How did you become a sheriff? How did you end up in the sheriff's office? He's a fairly young guy. How did you end up? What made you want to be an attorney? And why not go into private practice? There's much more money to be made in private practice than there is in public service. Why, tell the story of your life and how you got to where you are, to where you ended up in the middle of the fight of whatever particular issue is going on. One of the things I'm planning on talking about a little bit more today is this story that has come out of the New York Times in the last couple of days. I don't remember what the actual dateline of that article was, but there was an article in the New York Times called something about the making of a right-wing radical, or YouTube right-wing radical, or something like this. I don't remember who the author was. Kevin Rose, Kevin Roos, maybe. I don't know how to pronounce it. But he tells the story of Caleb Kane, who was a college dropout, and talks about, falling into the alt-right rabbit hole and the discussion that, Steven Crowder and Alex Jones and Ben Shapiro, and I don't know who all of the particular people that he points out in the article, but there's pictures of, in the title sequence, there's pictures of Ben Shapiro and Milton Friedman and Jordan Peterson, and how these people, Milo Yiannopoulos and some and others, that these are the Gavin McGinnis, these are the alt-right evil people that are brainwashing our children into all of that sort of thing. So I want to talk a little bit about that, because there's a story there. And so my goal is to reach out to maybe a few of these various quote unquote alt-right YouTubers who, if you ask them, they would tell you, no, I'm not an alt-right anything. I just simply, this is my view of the world. And of course, some of them are going to say, oh yeah, of course I'm a right-wing radical, or I'm a nut, or whatever. And so be it. But the point is, there's a story behind it. There's people behind these. Because it's one of the things that I have a tendency to forget myself. I have a tendency to forget that there are oftentimes people behind the stories, right? It's one thing to do a rant on my terrestrial radio show about an issue, about, we've had in our local city here, we've had some issues with the president of the university. It's just not been a good fit, and he's, gracefully moved on, and he's now moved to the University of Colorado and to take over the presidency of the University of Colorado system, or whatever. He's taken over like four colleges. And it just wasn't a good fit. And there was a lot of discussion about that on the airwaves on my terrestrial radio show. And I made a lot of very bold statements. I felt that it was time for him to resign. I felt that it was best that he move on. It was, you know, it would have seemed, if you had heard me talk about it, that I disliked this person personally. The truth was, I didn't know him. I don't know him personally. I've never had an opportunity to actually sit down and talk with him. And one of the things I've learned over the years doing terrestrial radio and doing interviews is that it's a lot harder to be angry at someone. It's a lot harder to be just raging out about whatever particular incident when they're sitting right next to you in the studio. And you have to reconcile or square with your personal values. I was raised as a kid. My parents did their best to raise me to be a respectful and, you know, kind or whatever individual. And when someone is sitting across from you in an interview situation and they're sitting literally within a couple of feet of you, it's much harder to be angry and accusatory and finger pointy and all of those sorts of things. Because it brings into the discussion the human element. When the person we are talking about, when the issue we're talking about is simply that, is just an issue and it's out there, it's easy to talk about it. It's easy to be aggressive. It's easy to really rip into someone. We see this, of course, on social media. It's easy to get on your computer and bang out on your keyboard the angry response in a Facebook comment or a tweet reply or in an Instagram or YouTube comment section or something like that. That's easy to do. But if you take that person and you take that issue out of the internet and you take them off of the screen and set them in front of you, it's much more difficult to be angry. It's much more difficult to be aggressive. And some people still can be. And I have plenty of confrontations over the phone on my radio show and have very heated discussions and things like that with callers. But I try very hard to never let them rise to the status of personal attacks. I don't always do it, and I've had to actually go on the air from time to time and apologize. I've had to simply come out and say, look, I was too harsh with this, or I got that fact wrong, or whatever thing went, what happened. I had to just say, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't do it right. I didn't get it right that time. And so when we try to do all of this internet war stuff, I think it makes us less good people. And I know that's terrible grammar, but I just feel like it makes us less good people if we do and allow that experience, the internet kind of social media experience, to get out of control. And so I want to try to figure out a way to tell the story behind the story. And I want to use the platform of my podcast to do that. I want to be able to take the time to step aside and say, hey, you are in this part of the world, and not obviously the geographical location, but you are in this part of the world. You are dealing with this particular issue. Tell me your story. How did you get there? How did you get to a position? How did you end up in a place on this planet, in this universe, on this timeline? How did you get to a place where you found yourself in the middle of a topic, of an issue that is now front page news and rolling across the scroller on the bottom of the screen on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC or some other show? How did you find yourself in the middle of the discussion that is being had around every water cooler, in every office building, and around every table at every local coffee shop in rural America, and even around the world. That's the story that I want to tell. That's the way I want to approach things with the Schmidt Show. The other part of it is, and I hope this doesn't scare people off, and I hope this doesn't freak people out, but one of the things as part of my story, and I've talked about this before, I'm a former pastor. I grew up, a little bit of my story, I grew up in rural North Dakota, in the middle of nowhere, North Dakota, and grew up in a family that was, I wouldn't say strictly religious, but we were certainly a family that valued the importance of faith. We didn't get into any kind of crazy cult-like stuff. We didn't get into any following, you know, some crazy TV preacher or anything like that. But we were definitely a family that valued faith. My mom grew up in the Mennonite tradition, actually, and I have family, distant relatives and ancestors that were Amish. So there was definitely a deep-seated family tradition of faith. And I drifted away from that as a young teenager and got into all sorts of trouble with various things and not anything crazy. You know, I didn't join a gang and murder anybody or anything like that, but I lived the typical, you know, country bumpkin, you know, small town, rural North Dakota, rural America life. I went out with my friends and we went, you know, hunting and fishing and did kind of stupid stuff and sometimes got caught and sometimes didn't. And later on in my life, I ended up getting involved with some drug addiction stuff, but not for a long time, and I didn't get into it. It wasn't like, you know, I spent decades mired in the muck and the garbage of addiction, but I struggled with addiction. I ended up in a very short time in a very bad place, and thank God I had a father who loved me enough to kind of drag me out of that. When I asked for the help, he was there and ready to kind of help pick up the pieces. And technically, he was my stepdad, but for all intents and purposes, he was my dad. And he was a thousand times more of a dad than my biological father ever was. And just to give a shout out, he doesn't really listen to podcasts and stuff, so I don't know if he'll even ever hear this, but just to give a shout out to him, my stepdad, I've always said that if there was a like an American Idol, America's Got Talent kind of competition for stepdads, my dad would have been the one that walked out on stage and absolutely blew everybody away with his awesomeness. My stepdad was a man who did not really, his father died when he was very young. He did not have a lot of good role models or good examples of what it meant to be a parent. But he nailed it over and over and over again. He absolutely knocked it out of the park in doing the things that a stepfather should do to be a good dad. I mean, he's an incredible man. He's literally my number one hero and a guy that I aspire to be like daily. He's just a great guy. I was blessed enough, lucky enough, whatever term you want to put on it, to have him as my stepfather. And then couple that with my mom, who was probably the hardest working, caringest, most compassionate, loving mother a person could ever ask for. She did have a good example of good parenting growing up, and she used a lot of those techniques that she learned as a young girl to make sure that my brother and I had great examples of parenting. She was, again, she's my number one hero right alongside my stepdad. I mean, I could not have asked for, had I had a contest to see who the best parents would be, mine would have won. They were just incredibly wonderful people who worked incredibly hard. My mom, unfortunately, got into a kind of a negative relationship with my biological father, and he was just a general dirtbag, and she had to fight through that and fought very, very hard to try to maintain that marriage and keep it up. But it just got to a point where continuing in that marriage was putting her and my brother and I at risk. It's a long story. He wasn't abusive or anything like that, but it put our family at risk for a lot of various calamities. So through all of that, she ends up marrying my stepdad, and like I said, the rest is history. But so that story led to a point where I was, long story short, ended up in jail for a car accident that I was involved in. It was my fault. I was actually driving a semi at the time. And while I was in jail, I don't know if you do this, but I've done it. And especially people who are people of faith have a tendency to do it a lot. While I was in jail, I started bargaining with God. I started saying, yeah, hey, if you do this for me, I will do that for you. I don't hear booming voices from heaven, and I didn't see a burning bush in the back of the jail cell or anything like that. But I felt very clearly, that there was a message from God that said something along the lines of, well, no, I won't bargain with you, but you will do this thing like I've asked you to do in the past. And that's just all there is to it. This is not an issue of bargaining. This is an issue of obedience, right? We do this with our own children, right? We tell our kids to do the dishes, and they say, well, if I do the dishes, can I have a bowl of ice cream or a cookie or whatever? And we say, no, just do the dishes like I told you to do. And so that was kind of the experience that I had while I was in jail. And so I had resigned myself at that point. I was going to go do what it was that God told me to do, and that was to become a pastor. And as soon as I resigned myself and agreed to that, immediately, literally the next day, I got the cookie. The thing that I was arguing with God about or bargaining with God for, as soon as I agreed to no reward, no quote-unquote cookie, just obedience, the very next day, literally the very next day, the cookie came. And I got the reward anyway. And so, long story short, ended up moving to Colorado Springs and going to school. Got a degree in biblical studies and a minor in biblical languages and became a pastor. In 2006, I took my first job as a pastor. And I carried that job from 2006 until 2011, which eventually led to me in 2014 starting a radio show, which now has led me here and doing the podcast. So as part of this podcast, as part of telling the story, I feel it's important that my story is a part of it as well. After all, it is going to be called The Schmidt Show. So my story of faith and my story of my family and all of that is going to be a part of this discussion. And I want instead of just having the Border Patrol agent tell his story, or the district attorney's office tell their story, or a sheriff, or, you know, whatever issue is telling their story, I want to share along with that or alongside of that how my story interacts with that, and how we can bring a level of the discussion of the faith story, my side of that, into this discussion. So here's the thing about this. One of the things that irritates me as a Christian, as a person who claims the mantle of Christianity, one of the things I get irritated by is that so many, whether it's podcasts or radio programs or television programs about faith, are focused directly at other Christians. And it's Christians talking to Christians about Christianity, and it just becomes an echo chamber. And honestly, I don't have a lot of desire to be a part of that. I do go to my local church, and I spend a portion of my life involved in that sort of discussion. I even play guitar at my local church as part of the worship team and all of that. But there is very little discussion about how our world intersects with the world, right? And oftentimes we as Christians simply just retreat back into our little buildings, into our little fortresses, and we talk to each other about how bad it is out there. And we talk to each other about how bad things are out there and how bad those people are. And we never really go out and talk to them and find out, hey, they're maybe not as bad as we think, or maybe they're actually worse than we think, and we're ignoring the problem. So this isn't going to turn into some sort of Christian channel where I'm, you know, preaching the gospel every week, and unless you, you know, straighten up and fly right, you're going to fry like a sausage and burn in hell or anything like that. It's not going to be anything like that. I have no desire to have that discussion. Because I just don't believe it's a productive discussion. But what I do want to do, because I hear this all the time as a local radio host and as a guy who does local radio, I hear over and over and over again people calling into my secular radio show on a secular radio station, call in and say to me something along the lines, the reason this thing is going on in our society, the reason this, or the reason that, or the reason they, or the reason we, or the reason whatever is going on is because we have, and in some form or another, we have quote unquote abandoned God. We've disallowed prayer in the schools, or we've disallowed this, or we've done that, or we've done, and all of these various discussions and all of these various places, I guess you could say. The story is over and over because we have abandoned God. And so I want to try and figure out a way to inject a little bit of God back into the discussion. But I don't want to do it by saying, you need to straighten up and fly right, or you need to start acting like me, or you're going to fry like a sausage, you're going to burn in hell. That, because look, if the example is me, if the example in the end of all of this is Brad, we have made the wrong choice. I'm a terrible example. I will let you down. I will disappoint you. I will say something that you disagree with. I will eventually say something that you do not believe to be appropriate or whatever. I will let you down. There's absolutely no question about that. And so I don't want it to be anything like that at all. I don't want it to be a sermon series that you would get at any, you know, church or Christian podcast. I don't want it to be anything like that. I simply want to talk about where the faith worldview, specifically my faith as a Christian, fits into some of these discussions and allow you to make the decision on your own as to whether or not you believe is an appropriate place or an appropriate part of the discussion or not. And if you don't think it is, simply disregard it. Simply move on and say, well, hey, that's his view, that's his belief. More power to him. I don't see it that way. And as we continue to improve and upgrade the situation here in the studio, phones and things like that. And for those of you, I want to mention this, for those of you that have watched on Facebook or YouTube, we are killing off the video stream for a while. We have had all of the trouble that we have had producing content for the Schmidt Show podcast over the last 6-8 months or whatever. Every bit of trouble we've had has been specifically related to video. And so we're dumping that for a while until we can get all of the quirks and the problems worked out and get a smooth product that we can put out and be proud of, instead of something that we stumble through and are embarrassed and or humiliated by the poor quality of it. So anyway, so all of that to say, this is where we are. This is the direction that the Schmidt Show will be moving in the coming weeks and or months, and hopefully years to come. We are going to address the issues of the day, hopefully through some compelling storytelling and interviews and compelling research on the topics and on the issues. And as we do that, provide hopefully a better, more entertaining experience for you, the listener, yet at the same time without sacrificing quality content and quality accuracy. Actually, I don't want to just tell a story to dramatize things. I want to tell stories in an effort to give a clearer picture of whatever it is that is going on, a clearer, more accurate, more more rounded and less nuanced discussion of whatever the issue of the day is. One of the things that this will cause or force me to do, it will also force me to be more prepared and more more accurate or ready to do a show. It'll force me to do a lot less winging it and a lot more planning it. And that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to, because as a guy who is a talker, who gets paid to talk for a living, it is easy sometimes for me to simply wing it. I guess you could say wing a discussion or just kind of, you know, fly by the seat of my pants. And while that can often turn into fun and exciting discussion, it can also lead to schizophrenic and flat out bad content. And I feel like for those of you, especially that are supporting me on Patreon, I owe you more. I owe you better than winging it. And I want to be able to make sure that I'm putting out the best possible content to make sure that the Schmidt Show podcast is something that you want to listen to every week, and something that you want to share with your friends, and something that you want to share with your family and say, hey, you're not going to believe this. I just listened to this guy and he had a person on that told a compelling story about a particular issue. And I really think you should check it out. It's a great podcast. Here's the download link, and that you'll email it to your friends and you'll text it to your cousin and all of those sorts of things. You'll share it on Facebook and you'll share it on Twitter and other social media platforms so that we can build an audience together, and that we can maybe, just maybe, take some of the divisive and angry discussion of the world of the internet and politics and bring it into a little bit more of a civilized discussion. And bring a little bit of clarity to some topics that maybe we haven't seen from other folks in the past. So we do have a lot going on, and I have a lot going on. Like I said, I work two jobs, plus I do this podcast. And I want to get to a point in my life where I'm not doing two and three jobs. If at the very most, I want to do my radio show and the podcast, and that's it. And if I can get there, I think that's a win. And if I can do that and make a decent living and take care of my family and pay my bills and plan for retirement, I think that's a double win. So that's kind of the direction we're going with the podcast for the next coming, hopefully, like say weeks, months, and maybe even into years. If you do want to be a part of the podcast or if you've got a suggestion, for the Schmidt Show or someone that you think would just be a good idea to, or a good interview, please send it along. Just go to theschmidtshow.com, and down at the bottom of theschmidtshow.com, there's a contact page. Send me an email. If you don't want to go to the website, it's just brad@theschmidtshow.com. Send me an email and we will, we'll take your suggestions. If you know of a story or of a person that's got a compelling story that wants to be or would be interested in being a part of the discussion moving forward, and or even somebody that maybe would challenge me, that would challenge my views and challenge the approach that I take or the position that I take, send those along too. We want you to be a part of it. We wanted to make sure that the voices are heard. I am not afraid of opposition. I have never been afraid of opposition. In fact, I welcome opposition because I think it makes for a more interesting discussion on multiple levels. But anyway, so theschmidtshow.com or podcast.theschmidtshow.com if you're looking for the RSS feed and all that kind of stuff. We're on Stitcher, we're on you name it, we're on everything. Stitcher and Castbox, and we're on iTunes and Google Play Store, Google whatever. Yeah, we're everywhere. So just go check it out and sign up, subscribe, all those things that we're supposed to do in order to whatever, create a following and a download. And let's make the discussion better. Let's make the discussion more interesting, and let's take the Schmidt Show podcast, not to, you know, make me famous, but let's take this to the next level together, because in the end, it's your podcast as well. Because if it's not something that you want to listen to and not something that people are subscribing to and downloading, it doesn't exist. So it's as much yours as it is mine. And I truly, truly want you to be a part of the discussion alongside of me, because I think it just makes it that much more interesting. And you all have connections and a reach that oftentimes I would never have. So find us on Telegram. We're on the on Telegram. We're the Schmidt Show subreddit or subreddit. There we've got that too. But we're on Telegram. It's just called The Schmidt Show. Join it there as well, and share your submissions. If you don't want to do an email or whatever, find us on Telegram and reach out to us that way and share your ideas or share your story. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're the one that has a story about a particular issue that is important to be heard. So anyway, with that, we are pretty much, we're going to end it right there today. So thank you once again for your loyal support and being a part of the Schmidt Show on a regular basis. I apologize for the video stuff, but I just felt like it was not, it just wasn't good. It wasn't good, and I don't want to be one of these guys that thinks that what I'm doing is better than everybody else and then complaining because nobody watches or listens or whatever. It just wasn't good. And so instead of continuing to do poorly, we're going to set it aside until we can get it right and then come back with a vengeance and do it right maybe later on down the road. So thank you once again, The Schmidt Show, podcast.theschmidtshow.com. Send me an email at brad@theschmidtshow.com. And just be a part of the discussion. Join us and share your story. We'll see you next week.